This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania. How's it going, everyone? It's Pat Loika here. You're listening to Loika Mania, episode 33. And this week, I have a very special guest, a good pal of mine. He is an artist, an illustrator, a writer also. He did the Slice of Life comedy one-shot in my lifetime, and he has done many, many other projects that you probably don't even know about. His name is Tony Fleeks. How's it going, Tony?
Hey. Nobody knows about In My Lifetime either. Hang out in the periphery.
Man, well, what everyone knows about, though, is your sketch cards. And you do a lot of that stuff. So at least there's enough of your work out there that probably got better circulation than most than In My Lifetime did.
Probably. I like to think of myself as like that guy. You know, when I meet somebody at a show or whatever, if eventually they can get to like, oh, he's that guy. that's fine for now,
man. So, but the sketch card thing—I've always been curious about that because I was kind of interested in doing it, but now I kind of don't have time to do the stuff like that right now.
You got a promotion.
What's that?
You got a promotion. That's what you were saying the other day.
Yeah, I got promotion at work.
But can you talk about work on here, or what, is this just about?
I can't talk about my work. I'd rather keep out of that.
That's a good promotion. Like everything's good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It includes a pay raise, so that's that kind of puts me back to the level I was in about a year ago when things kind of went to hell. But
hardcover city, man. That's what I like.
Yeah, just got a big shipment from DCBS. Actually, it's too bad it was like a week before the Thor omnibus thing came out. So it would have been cool to have that all at the same time.
Yeah, Tone got that yesterday. It's enormous.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book too, man. The recoloring they did, man. Yeah. I hope they do the same thing for the Jim Lee X-Men stuff because the colorist for the Jim Lee X-Men omnibus. I mean, for the guy who does the covers for all those collections has been posting pages from X-Men 1 that he recolored.
Is it Steve Olif?
No, it was Thomas Mason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look up his stuff on Facebook. He's posted the recolored interior pages from the X-Men 1 that came out in 1991.
So they're doing a Jim Lee X-Men omnibus?
Yeah, they're doing a Jim Lee and Chris Claremont Jim Lee omnibus coming out later this year, like around October or so.
So does it start with Uncanny?
Yeah, it's got the Uncanny stuff first.
Huh, all right.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put all that shit when they all come in.
Have you moved? When was the last time you moved?
It's kind of a weird situation, but I did a couple of moves over the last over the last couple of years, but can't really get into that. That's personal stuff I'm not going to get into here. But
So you have like a public face and a private face.
You gotta have a private thing to go into because you never know.
Like a serial murderer or anything. You're not kind of like that. That's what I always wonder about when somebody's got like some stuff I don't know about. Like, guys, I wonder if Pat Loika's murdering. That'd be
surprising. Oh, I mean, shit. You don't know where I hide the bodies, man. you're not gonna know.
Okay.
Actually, you should look behind you. I'm probably right there.
No.
Okay.
Just me.
All right. Well, back to the sketch cards.
Though. Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like, they sent. How do you first? You get in on the. I mean, who usually? I think Upper Deck puts them out, right? Or
those sketch cards. So it's this company called Rittenhouse is who I do the work with mainly, and they have the Marvel license, and they have a few other licenses, but I just do the Marvel cards mostly. Mm-hmm. And how I got in on it was I work here in a studio with Tone Rodriguez and Chris Moreno and Mark Dos Santos. Do you know Mark?
I have never met Mark before, though.
He's a good dude. He actually doesn't work in the studio all the time. He lives like 20 miles away, so he's here a couple times a week. But they were doing the cards, and they had done them with, I think with Upper Deck, but definitely with this company called Inkworks. Mm-hmm. who did like the Shrek cards and the Alien versus Predator cards and all these cards. And I would see them doing these sets, and I was like, "Well, I could do that." And so I asked if I could, you know, get an introduction. Or I think what happened was I just sent samples in, and the first time they said they didn't have room for me on the set because I think they have like 100 artists or something. I don't know how it works exactly, but yeah. I mean, so then when the next set came around, they wanted to have me, and so I just took on. You can do as many cards. I think the lowest you can do is like 50, and then I think it tops out at like 300 or 500 or something. But there's no way I could do 500. I did 200 or 250 one time, and it was a nightmare. So I usually have them send me about 100 cards, and then you sit there and, you know, for a couple of weeks, just sit there and draw Marvel characters all day long, and then color them.
Man, so how much did they? Well, I don't think you can disclose any particulars as far as your rates per card, but how many cards do you usually do per set?
Usually I do about 100.
100. Oh, okay.
So, and the rate's okay. What happens is they pay you, and then they also give you these return blanks called artist proof cards.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of like. It's like just having money sitting around. Oh, that's you. I'm sorry, my phone off.
That's okay.
They send you these blanks, and it's like having, you know, the collectors of sketch cards really like buying the artist proof cards because it's basically like they can get official Marvel artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But they sort of request what, you know, like they can art direct it. Basically, it's like getting a chance to tell a Marvel artist for, you know. The lowest possible Marvel artist you could find, you know, you pay them a little bit of money and you can have them draw, you know, your wildest dreams as far as, you know, like I've done some, you know, like, Deadpool guys seem to have, a wild imagination as far as like what sort of scenario they'd like to have somebody draw for them. So I've done some wild Deadpool stuff and people just get off on getting people to draw their favorite characters for them. It's like getting a sketch at a convention, except it shows up. You know, like it gets approved by Marvel, and so it's...
Well, it appears to be approved by Marvel anyway, because it's got usually a Marvel logo, official logo thing on the card, right?
Yeah, it's basically like the sketch covers at conventions, except that it has to go through and get signed off on.
I see.
So I do those, and then I do the one-a-day sketches, which was sort of born out of the sketch cards, in that I would come to the studio to work. And I kind of got the idea for that off just seeing my buddy sit around and draw superheroes for, you know, a few bucks a piece. They were making more than I was. I charged $3 for those sketches when I first did them. And I just figured, like, well, for a completely unofficial version of the sketch cards, charge less and hopefully I could make some money. And I made, you know, that happened because I was broke.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's give the listeners some context.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, you mentioned you were broke. Yes, and you were broke, and you did you went to several online communities, and you had posted a thread basically soliciting for sketch requests, and basically for $3 each. For $3 each, you will draw whoever they want. And it just went crazy.
Yeah, it's still kind of crazy. But broke is a relative term out here. You know, like you can be a little bit broke and you can be a lot broke. And I was a lot broke. You know, I'm freelance, so I just sort of have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working, I'm making money, and if I'm not working, I'm not making money. And I guess I had gone on without having a gig for a little while, and I didn't realize it, and it sort of caught up with me. And so, yeah, I was super broke, and I got, I think, around 900 requests to draw stuff. I haven't, I mean, when I finish, I'll probably go back through and do an actual count. But I, you know, it's daunting to look at it right now. But it's like a 50-page long document with addresses and names.
Are you kidding? That's, I didn't realize it was that much as far as, you know, because... Wow, how many? And what's your current total right now, or the running total you had?
I don't even know. I mean, I drew them for a while. Basically, I got enough to pay the rent and bills for about 2 months. And I drew straight for about 2 months just doing those sketch cards. And then as soon as that money started to run out, I had to, you know, take on other work. And so I started doing other work, and I got caught up doing that and fell way behind on the sketch cards. And so I started this blog called One A Day, where I just make sure I do one every day, and that way I can sort of work my way through them and without the internet turning on me completely, which some places are better than others. You know, like the Bendis board, those folks have always been cool to me, you know, and they like me, and I feel like I'm a person on the Bendis board. I post there less now that I work so much, but then other places, there's this, comic art, comic guild. I don't know what the fuck. This one place hates me. Because the sketches are so late, you know, and I think when you collect sketches, I mean, you collect sketches, you've probably got sketchbooks that are out there, people that have had a commission for a long time that, you know, you just check in every once in a while, and then when they don't get to it, you get annoyed, and so I've got, like, you know, 400, 500 annoyed people right now, or out, you know.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, my counterpoint to that is, yeah, sure, you can get annoyed, but the thing is, you only paid $3 a pop.
Well, that's true.
It's relatively small. Like, there's people who charge hundreds, even thousands for sketches, and people wait for a while.
Right.
And it's okay with these people because these guys are happen to be, you know, they happen to have requested stuff from bigger names. But the thing is, you know, it's different with you because you're basically just trying to get by, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to make money at the same time you're trying to catch up on this, on all this. So it's kind of easy to understand your situation. Some people just want it now, I guess.
Yeah, I see where everybody's coming from. The people that are upset, I understand that why they're upset, and the people that see it like you see it, where, you know, it's $3. The thing is, you know, if you ordered, you know, some people ordered like 30 of them, so then that's almost $100 that's just sitting out there. So it's, you know, I'm just catching up on. I'm just doing my due diligence, and then, you know, now they're color and they're nicer. Some days are nicer than others, but, you know, I just try and
see some of the stuff you've been doing. I mean, I can kind of see you feel bad that people had to wait so long, so you had to put extra effort into them,
right?
And they're gorgeous. I mean, that stuff, that you could easily sell that stuff for at least $20 at the size that you're doing them on.
I do now. My convention rates have sort of gone up, and that's been nice. You know, when I go to conventions now, I see people who only know me as One A Day, you know, which is weird. Mm-hmm. I think it's weird if you only know me as One A Day because, not as One A Day, people don't come up and call me One A Day, but if you only know me from the One A Day, it's weird because there's so many other people much better than me who do, you know, One A Day sketch blogs that... Mm-hmm. That it's like, you know, that's something that if you know my work or if you have ordered sketches from me, you probably know about. But if, you know, like if I'm in your blog role with the fucking Scotty Young One A Day sketch blog or the I think Samney does one. And, you know, like, a lot of guys do them. And so it's like if I'm just part of that and you know me from that, then I'm impressed, I guess. But I think mainly it's just people who bought the sketches or know me from in my lifetime or from the internet or whatever.
Man. So you mentioned you have about a 50-page document. How far into that 50-page document have you gone?
I'm like 3/4 done, I think.
You're getting there at least. There's been a lot of movement. You know, that says something.
I would guess I'll be done in the next year. Is what I would guess. I don't think the One A Day will go on for 2 years. I think it'll be like almost 2 years would be my guess. Because right now I'm at like day three. I'm almost at like a year's worth of cards, having done them every day, but it's been up for a little over a year. Because I jump out when I go to a convention or, you know, Christmas time or whatever.
And then there'll be times where you post like a dozen or so new cards each on any given day. So yes. Sometimes you put a lot in there, so you kind of build a little buffer, you know?
I try to.
but that's still pretty impressive. And the fact that – and it's nice that people have been patient. Like, a lot of the Bendis board guys have been really patient. But you told me a story of – well, you know, you sent out a sketch and it got sent back to you. And Tell us why.
Well, I got one sketch that sent back. It was like an envelope full of sketches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've seen them on Wanted Egg, it was like I did sketches of the guys from Prison Break and Grey's Anatomy chick and then a bunch of superheroes and stuff. And then they got sent back to me. And I think the guy might have died. Actually, that guy, I'm going to say his name because maybe he listens to your podcast and he's not dead. I really hope that he's not dead. Hold on. So I got this envelope that I keep the sketch cards in, and then I just have inside that envelope is William Hanna from Pennsylvania, I think.
I swear that name is familiar to me, but I can't put my finger on.
I think his message board handle is like Just Bill.
Oh,
like that? Is he dead? Did he die?
Not that I know of, but you might want to. He's probably from the 11 o'clock boards.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So his got sent back to me. I email him every once in a while. I wonder if he got a new email in the last couple of years. That's possible. And you know, a lot of people have forgotten that they have sketches coming. You know, because if you only ordered a couple of them, it's something where it's been a long time, and you know, you can just sort of. I would have forgotten if it was me. So it could be, you know, if it doesn't show up, it's not like he's sitting around wondering where it's at.
Yeah, that's kind of funny though that people forget. I mean, it's just wow. I just find that very strange that people would just forget that.
Well, the other thing is at $3, it's kind of a lark, you know. It's like it's just like, well, you know, I got $3 sitting around, and that's why a lot of the sketches are weird. You know, it's like, you know, I'll just, well, $3, I can get somebody to draw a picture of Dinah Shore. So I draw not the Great Lakes Avenger, the comedian. Yes.
I'm looking. Now that you mentioned the screen name Jess Bill, I think he's. Look up Facebook and check out Jess Bill because he looks like he has a podcast.
What?
But he hasn't updated in. Wait, hold on.
In a couple of years, right? Or when?
Oh, he has updated not too long ago. In his he updated on April 1st in his Facebook page.
Well, that makes me happy.
Okay.
I'm just going to search him. I'm just going to look him up so I can talk to him.
Message him or something, because that's what he got. I was like, whoa, someone died waiting for your sketches.
Yeah. Did you look up Just Bill? What did you look up? I guess you can just send it to me.
Yeah, look up. Yeah, I'll link you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, then another guy did die waiting for the sketches. And that's, you know, I mean, like, I just heard from a buddy of his that he passed away. And again, I don't think he was sitting there. Like, I don't think he was dying thinking about the sketches. You know, I hope. I don't imagine that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But it's just like there's so many of them out there that makes me feel kind of, you know, bums me out. It makes me sad that, you know, I wasn't fast enough for this guy. You know, it's just like I shouldn't have taken on so much. But, you know. People seem to the living people seem to be happy when the cards show up.
Yeah, I love all of my Tony sketches.
Do you have any? Do I have any outstanding ones?
No, we're good, man. We're even. I picked up the original to your White Queen print, which was awesome.
You sure did.
Yes.
I could have made real money on that, Pat.
I know. I feel, you know, now every time I see you, I'm obligated to get you something to drink at least, just to say thank you. Because you hooked me up.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you've always been good to me.
Thank you. So you're currently working with Josh Fialkov for a new graphic novel project with Oni.
Correct.
And from what we know, it looks like one of those great hilarious concepts it's kind of funny that nobody's thought of it yet. So
I mean, when the book comes out, it's a concept that I don't know that people would be like, why didn't I think of that? Because it's fucked up. You know, it's like a weird concept. So it's sort of one of those where it'll be more like people will be like, well, I got something that's sort of like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a regular guy, you know, who has to save the world, which I think we've seen before. But it's Josh is a real funny guy, and he did Punks, which is a comedy book, but it's not like his comedy. Like, you've talked to Josh, and, you know, he's one of my best friends, and we laugh a lot, but all his books are really sort of dark and about serial killers and brain tumors and shit. So it's I'm happy to be doing this book that sort of seems like the real Josh to me, but, you know, not the Josh that makes money for to feed his family. So hopefully hopefully the dark stuff keeps working and people like seeing this too. But we co-wrote it, and it's 160 pages, and it's 10 pages drawn right now, 9 pages drawn, and I'm laid out through page like 33 or 34. And so I'm just trying to knock out a page a day on that.
So there's no actual release date set up yet. I mean, is it going to be full color, or are you going to be doing it black and white or grayscale?
It's black and white and grayscale, and then it has full color intro, like manga does. You know, like the first 8 pages will be in color, and then it sort of transitions into black and white.
Okay, I would have loved to see your stuff in full color. I think your stuff works really well in color. Like after seeing, you know, the sketches you do, and some of the covers you've done, like the Archie thing that you did for Hero.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, one of these days, I'm sure I'll do something full color. I've got an In My Lifetime short story that whenever the book that it's supposed to be in finds a publisher, that'll be in full color. And it's
Cool. There's more in My Lifetime stuff coming. Now, with that, I mean, I really like seeing your stuff in color, and like I just mentioned, and do you get to pick, like, say, if it's going to be black and white or color book, or did you guys just decide that it would be better for you guys to just go with, like, you know, the transitioning thing?
Well, with Oni, I think they have a model. I think
that's true. Yeah,
I'm guessing it's like here's the, you know, because it's going to be digest size. It's basically Scott Pilgrim size, mm-hmm. you know. And
oh, cool.
They know that they can make, you know, their printing costs this, and then the price point is this, and then you expect to move however many. And so I think it's sort of a business thing. But the other thing is, you know, time-wise, if I was coloring it myself, then that's another, you know, day or half a day per page. So it ends up taking twice as long. And then if you have to hire a colorist, then that's a financial concern. Again, even if they're going to do it on back end, then that's, you know, less back end you're looking at. So it's a number of... it's a number of things to think about. You know, if I was just doing, like, the book that Tone and I are working on, it's full color, and that's just because, you know, it's our book. We don't have a publisher yet. We're just putting the first issue together, and we can pretty much make it whatever we want, and then we find a place that wants to print, you know, what we got.
Have you ever considered, like, I don't know, you mentioned a book with Tone. Have you guys ever considered just publishing online and maybe doing a PDF download thing?
Maybe. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see what's happening with the internet, see what... There hasn't been a breakout internet hit, you know? Like, there's not a model to look at and go like, oh, well, we could do like that. You know, there have been, I mean, you know, like webcomics, there have been way successful webcomics, but even those... You can't look at, you know, a PvP or Penny Arcade and then just be like, well, then just do that, because that's obviously, that's like wanting to play basketball and just being like, well, just do like Michael Jordan does, you know?
Have you ever checked out the 4-Star Studios? Like they just launched a new app as well as an online store that would have like their work. It's Mike Norton, Tim Seeley. Yes.
It's the Norton and Seeley, the Answer, and what's
the Answer Jack Kraken.
Yeah,
yeah, that looks like a really good model. I think that could be something that's worth investigating, because I like that they pretty much dictate the whole how everything works out. You could get the app, or you could just buy the PDF. Either way, you're covered on all sides.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like sort of the best version of somebody doing their own book online that I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is it, 8 pages a piece, it's 16 pages of comics, and then extra stuff, like workload-wise, it seems to make sense, and the price point's the right price point. I don't know, like, ideally we'd go to print first, and then sort of have the internet as a marketing... You know, like, I'd like to just be able to give the book away. Like, if you come to the website, come check out the first issue of the thing, you know, or whoever the publisher is, just pop up the first issue. Because I always like that, where you can say, hey, you know, take a look at this book. And you just link somebody to it. That's nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so that The book I'm doing with Tone is far enough out right now that we're still just sort of figuring out what we're doing. We showed it to a couple people, but we're going to get the first issue finished before we take it out to publishers.
That's cool. Are you allowed to say anything about it yet, or it's still in the works? Okay, go ahead. Tell us about it.
We can tell you whatever we want. Tone's sitting right here. Tone, say hello. Tone doesn't even smoke weed. I don't know why he's coughing like that.
I was holding that for like 10 minutes. I'm sorry. Hello.
Hello.
Tone's just sitting on the couch listening to me talk. The book we think is called American Goth Chick, but it might be called something else depending on, like, if you do a tongue-in-cheek title like that, mm-hmm. It's not like you can put an emoticon on the cover and be like, get it, everybody? She's, you know. But it's about a teenage girl who lives in the Midwest who writes sort of like mopey teenage poetry, and her poetry starts coming to life and killing people, and then she's got to learn how to sort of control these poetry powers and stop it. I think when you say poetry powers, it sounds like a good sell, but it's like, you know, it's like a comedy horror, sort of like Heather's or Carrie. Or Carrie's not a comedy, but it's like if Carrie were a comedy, I guess.
Oh, I like it. It sounds like a lot. It sounds like a really fun concept. It sounds like something that's like right up your alley. Just some of the stuff I just heard, you know, it sounds like a ridiculously fun thing. So hopefully you guys do well and get a good publisher on board for that.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think it's gonna be cool. Tone, how many pages you got done? Like 12, 13?
12, 15 into it.
About 13 pages into it, and it looks great. And we got a colorist, this guy named Jeff Balky, who's doing a nice job. He's just coloring up pages. Oh,
yeah. I've seen his work. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
So we're just banging through this thing. I can actually send you stuff if you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, cool. That'd be awesome.
I know you like to be on the cutting edge of what's happening.
Of course. That's what we do here in this show.
Like a maniac. So this is your 33rd episode, but you've had a podcast for like for a few years, right? So is it just you do it whenever you can, or is this a podcast?
The thing is, this is a completely new one. I used to do a thing with Chris and my brother Tim. We used to do this thing called the Dial R Cast,
right?
Where it's basically the Dial R studio. It's the guys just doing our thing and just talking and doing whatever, and we're just bullshitting mostly. But the thing is, it got to a point where nobody could commit to a schedule, and we kind of fell off the radar after like 13 episodes.
Right.
And then after that, I did a soft relaunch on this last year, like around January, and I did that, and then someone offered to host and basically handle getting the feed out there, and so I've been able to produce a somewhat weekly show, and this is like episode 33. I've had some people on. I actually just got some commitments from a bunch of people over the next few weeks, so.
What other guests have you had on? Who else has been on?
I had Gabriel Hardman on.
Okay.
I had John Suntress on.
All right.
And of course, a bunch of other people like from that I know from the internet or from Bendis Board or wherever. And next week I'm actually going to have Matt Fraction on.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
that's quite a pull.
Yeah, I've got commitments from other people, but I can't really name names yet until everything's set. Until I have everything scheduled.
You just drop it on people. It just happens, and you just put it out.
Yeah, scheduling and recording a podcast is a ridiculous thing. Like, the funny thing is, like last week I had Chris Mays on and Antonio, who posts a flip on the Bendis board.
Okay, yeah,
and we got together to do a post-WrestleMania edition of the podcast. Right. And the thing is, it got tough to schedule because, you know, Chris has a kid now. And so he's basically, he's basically getting whatever free time he can and dedicating it to talk about a pay-per-view that was somewhat disappointing for us.
Chris Nate had a kid?
Yeah, he had a kid.
No shit.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea. Maybe I did. When did he have a kid?
Last December.
Maybe I knew about that. Well, that's good for that guy. I like Chris.
Yeah, Chris is great. He's gonna draw He's working on a short story that I'm writing that's going to be put out by Greyhaven Publishing. It's called, you know, have you heard the Gathering anthology thing that's been going around?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's drawing something that I'm writing for that, so that should be fun.
He's a great artist. What?
It's a romance-themed short story, so.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's been an interesting script to write. And I've never written romance before. So when I did this particular script, it was a little rough for me.
Right.
But you know, I thought it turned out a pretty decent script. I had some people actually look at it, and I got some good critiques out of it. So I'm just working on the final draft right now.
I'm excited to read it. I think it'll be like a peek into your secret private the life you're not allowed to talk about. the other side of Pat Loika. I like it.
So, aside from, you know, the stuff we just mentioned, is there any other projects that you have up that we can expect to see in the near future?
Well, work wise, I'm working on the Oni book full time, and I'm working on the book with Tone is written, but you know it's like a 4-issue miniseries. So as soon as we find out what's happening with that, I jump back in and start writing that again. Start writing issue 2, mm-hmm. And then. Also full-time, I'm sort of project managing and coloring and lettering this book for this company called Smarter Comics, which they do self-help books or, like, instructional books.
Okay.
It's sort of like, you know, like an instructional book or a self-help book meets understanding comics is what the style is. Chris Moreno is doing a book with them, and DJ Kirkbride, do you know him?
Yeah, I have never met DJ in person, but I know of him.
He's the editor.
He worked on Pop Gun, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the editor on Pop Gun, on the Eisner Award-winning volume of Pop Gun. I think, like 3, 4, and 5, maybe, or 3 and 4. So he's working on that, and then we're me and Mark Dos Santos are working on a book that's like a samurai. It's like one of those ones that's, it's, you know, it's in the public domain, and it's like a samurai, like The Art of War, you know, where it's instructions for how to be a samurai, but it also covers everything else you need to know in life. You know? Mm-hmm. How would you go about dealing with a neighbor that you don't like if you were a samurai, but not with swords?
You pull out a gun.
Yeah. That's not the samurai way, Pat. But I guess Cullen Bunn writes these.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't talk to him. I'm sort of on the art end. I haven't had any interaction with him yet. But I like that guy's writing. So
yeah, the Sixth Gun is an amazing book.
Yeah, they kind of play dumb. So if you like him, this is where he writes about how samurais, how the samurai code translates into the modern business world. So that's
interesting.
So it's like every day I try to do a page of pencils and inks and a page of layouts and a page of colors and a page of letters. And if I stay on that, along with one a day, and then I got a set of Marvel cards coming up. If I stay on that, then I'm sort of okay. And then, you know, like I say, when it's time to write the second issue of the Tone book, then it's time to fit that in as well. I guess try to write a page a day also.
That's pretty badass, dude. Now, I remember you used to, you mentioned before that you used to do some storyboarding work or something, right? And some design work in Hollywood.
Yeah, I still do that. I'm less in Hollywood and more in the Midwest, actually. The majority of my storyboard stuff is for an agency. I used to live in South Dakota, and there's an agency out there. Mm-hmm. They have accounts. They have, like, Taco John's, as well as, like, some banks. They used to have hot stuff. And just, like, a lot of sort of Midwestern companies. And I end up drawing storyboards for a lot of that sort of stuff, which is great. Like, the difference between Midwest storyboard work and Los Angeles storyboard work is, like, in the Midwest, they don't know that they can just be a dick to you because they're paying you. So they're really nice, and they call up, and they're like, would this be enough time? And they give me, like, 3 weeks to do stuff, and they pay really well. And you know, like, if you get a storyboard gig out here, it's just sort of like, all right, here you go, go. And you're like, oh, okay. And then, it, you know, I see Moreno turn around storyboard jobs in, like, a day and a half or, you know, 12 hours. And it looks like a nightmare. So I'm real happy doing the Taco John storyboards where I got some time to sit around and work on them. Because they're, like, full-color, you know, like, presentation boards. Not actually shooting boards.
I mentioned I had Gabriel Hardman on a couple episodes back, and he was telling me about his storyboarding experiences, and it didn't sound like a fun. It didn't sound like too much fun. I mean, there are moments where it can be good depending on the type of the production you're in, you know, and if you know people or if it happens to be something that just happened, you know, where you don't have to go on location or whatever. But yeah, that
he did like the Hulk, right?
He worked on Inception.
Uh-huh.
He worked on X-Men 2 and 3. He worked on he was the guy behind the plane sequence in Superman Returns.
Okay.
He did a bunch of others. He draws Hulk right now.
Right. So, uh-huh. I like doing the storyboards. I like doing anything that pays, really.
I like that too.
So. I'm happy to work.
We're on the same page.
I think a lot of guys, you see a lot of guys from the 90s that sort of ended up in animation or in storyboards and film and stuff like that. And
yeah, and man, I would see names like, you know, like Stephen Platt, for example.
Right.
Like that dude, like, wait, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
That's Chris, he now.
Chris is good friends with Dan Fraga, and he's he's directing right now. He's directing the Ricky Gervais show, but he was in storyboards forever.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's a real step up from what he was doing. He went from doing Bloodstrike, and now he does the Ricky Gervais show.
I like Black Flag. I thought that was a cool book.
Black Flag was cool, but Bloodstrike, not really.
What else did he do, Tony?
He did some Young Blood stuff.
Station. He did Gear Station.
Gear Station. Oh yeah, that's not that. I don't remember that.
But I think the different like. Why I do comics is because I've got stories to tell, and I want to tell stories, and I like, you know, working in this medium. And I think also there's a little bit of it where it's like you like being able to have your own voice or your own style, and sort of that's what's great about comics. And the downside of it is that it doesn't pay as good as animation or as film work or anything like that. And that's why there's so many sort of, you know, like, well, this sounds like a cool comic, but could we sell it? You know, and I mean, that's part of the business. But the great thing about comics, and what's different from storyboards and animation and all that is that you actually get to, you know, you're telling your own story. You know, you're not telling somebody else's story. Or if you are, you're telling somebody else's story your way. You know, all the storyboard work that I get is great, but it's, you know. It's not my idea to tell a story about a taco, but I'm happy to do it, I guess.
So, you know, you mentioned comics. What have you been digging lately? What have you been reading?
I read the first issues of Jennifer's Blood yesterday. Did you read that?
I don't think I have. Which publisher is it from?
It's Dynamite. It's Garth Ennis's. It's like Long Kiss Goodnight, sort of, except the chick doesn't have amnesia. She's just like a housewife that is on some revenge killing spree, but she's very matter of fact about it. And she writes in her diary about what she did for the day, and it's half sort of like taking care of the kids and her husband, and half murdering people. It's okay.
Wow, I have never heard of this book. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's good. It's Garth Ennis. It's you know.
I don't know.
Dennis, you go, is it Preacher or is it not Preacher? And it's not Preacher, but it's good. It's cool. I haven't read The Boys yet. You read The Boys?
The Boys I read in trade. I'm behind by a trade right now, but, you know, I've kind of been hot and cold with that book.
Right.
And I do love his Battlefields, though. That's something that he puts out through Dynamite that I absolutely love. I don't know if you've read that stuff, but, you know, it's his World War II comics, which, you know, which I'm absolutely in love with right now. I have a thing for that period for some reason.
Yeah, I think everybody does. As the last, you know, as the last war that we were on, you know, that we were on the right side of. You know? It's the last war that people came back from war, and there's no sort of like, well, you could see their point. You couldn't see a Nazi's point.
Yeah, you know? it was no a clear argument. War where the good guys were good guys and bad guys were bad guys. You know, I mean, there was no gray area as far as what was going on back then.
Afghanistan would have been like that too. I don't want to get political at all, but
No, I'm not getting into political. It's just how we perceive it. You know, that's just how it was. And I don't know. It's a really, really good book. It focuses on various. You know, there's no set cast of characters. It kind of goes through, like, you know, like the first miniseries was about these Russian these female Russian pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And called the Night Witches, it's about them, and of course they're, you know, they're Nazi opponents, and then they focus on another thing, a different kind of squad, different countries or whatever. It's pretty cool, and I there's clearly a lot of research that goes into it, so that's why I really dig it. That's really the only thing I've been picking up from Dynamite, because Dynamite's not really one of my favorite publishers.
Yeah, they get a lot of guys that I really like. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I love Phil and Andy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I support those guys. But I'm not a fan of, like, a lot of the coloring that happens in their books. I don't know if it's, like, a style or what, but...
What do you think of this Kirby... Whatever the fuck. Kirby Reloaded, or...
That's the one that Kurt Busiek is writing, right?
Yeah.
Who's illustrating it?
It's, like, Alex Ross and somebody else... You know, it's one of those Dynamite things where Alex Ross does part of it, and somebody, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I'm not really. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a big fan of Alex Ross's stuff. I mean, there was a time where I kind of liked his stuff, but I don't want
to be a fan of. I mean, it's okay at this point to say, like, you know, if somebody asked me to name my top 75 comic artists, he just doesn't do a lot of comics. I mean, he's always around. And if you're asking me about cover artists, I'm sure he would come up in there somewhere. But he's one of those guys that came out around that time where, and obviously he exploded. You know, he's one of the biggest artists in comics, but he doesn't have to do comics. You know, like J. Scott Campbell doesn't have to do comics. Adam Hughes doesn't have to do comics.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, like, if you're gonna, you mentioned, like, out of the three artists you mentioned, like Campbell, Ross, and Hughes. Campbell and Hughes, when you look at their covers, they're alive. They feel. I mean, yeah, they're more cartoony compared to Alex Ross's stuff.
Sure,
but theirs feels more alive. There's a lot more going on with each image they do. Whereas you look at Alex Ross's stuff, like I hate to say it, and I hate being negative on the show, but you've seen one, you've seen them all. You know,
I can see that, Tom.
I agree.
All right. Yeah. But, you know, so we're on the same page here. He's a much better artist than me.
I mean, there's no question that he's a great artist.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, but, yeah, he seems very stuck on a certain aesthetic, visual aesthetic.
Yeah, he's got sort of a worldview that that's sort of the result of that is having that sort of aesthetic, you know. Like, yeah. he's very into what he's into. And it doesn't seem... It's weird that he gets brought into redesign stuff all the time because he seems like he'd just rather not.
Yeah, and whenever he redesigns stuff, it just harkens back to, like, you know, like an older, more outdated look, you know? He doesn't really have that really modern sensibility to his stuff.
I thought the Winter Soldier or the whatever the Bucky Cap design.
The Bucky Cap thing is great, but the thing was, I mean, you saw the revisions he went through before they finally got to that.
I did not.
Like, there was one design where it actually looks like the shield. It looks like just the shield, like, pasted on top of the costume. Right. You see that version of it?
No.
Oh, I'll have to send you a link to that. Because it was pretty hilarious before they finally settled on whatever.
What's up with this new Green Lantern costume I saw? The Alan Scott?
I have not noticed that.
I think Josh sent me a picture of it the other day. It looks like he's wearing a lantern, like he's out front of a lantern store selling lanterns.
I hope not.
Hold on here, let me...
I stopped picking up Justice Society, like, after, right when Bill Willingham went on, because I wasn't feeling what he was doing. So I haven't been keeping up.
Yeah, I don't think I ever was keeping up. Hold up, I'll send it over to you right now. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading, you know, I read a lot. I read mostly Avengers stuff.
I love the Avengers stuff right now. It's been for some reason they've kept me really interested, and I guess it's more testament to Brian Bendis's writing. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have fun reading those books too, and John Romita Jr. is incredible.
Yeah, that last issue, number 11, with the Infinity Gauntlet and the Hood, and then that last bit, that cliffhanger at the end was just. Well, it was one of those holy shit moments.
Is that the splash page issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've read that yet.
You need to read that. Thankfully, I didn't spoil it for you because that last page was amazing.
We went to WonderCon and it was in my bag, and I think it might still be in my bag. So it's just one of those things that I haven't got to yet. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the Avengers books. I'm trying to think what else I read. I read. Look over here. I read Fear Itself. I read Chew.
Chew is great.
Yeah, I like Rob quite a bit.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that just came from out of nowhere, and he's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would appear that way. He's been around for a while. He was working on a lot of stuff with Fialkov and a bunch of guys. Like, he was working with a bunch of guys I know on a bunch of stuff, and he just sort of all of a sudden, Chew was the one that happened. And it's great. I'm a big fan of it. You know what I read was fucking Caligula. Did you read that?
No, that was from Avatar, right?
Yeah.
I heard about that. I'm interested, but I'm waiting on the trade.
I love David Lapham.
Yeah, his newest stuff is great. I don't know if you ever read Young Liars, but that was a fantastic book, and I missed that book so much.
I didn't finish it. I've got all three trades. I'm about to send them off to get bound because they were printed. It was like they were printed on toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Like, I just opened them, and the covers came right off. So I'm going to get all three bound together because I got all the Straight Bullets hard covers, and I figure I can put that whole thing right next to it on the shelf.
Nice.
But Caligula's fucked up. Like,
I will have to look for it. Man, that costume is... Oh, God, that costume is awful.
Yeah, it's wild, right? It looks like he's selling lanterns.
Yeah, it looks like he transforms into a lantern.
Yeah.
It looks like... Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know what's up with his arms. Is it that thing behind his back? I don't know.
Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And it's like the Michael Keaton Batman. Like, how does he look to the left or right? Does that thing pivot?
Oh, that looks horrible. Yeah.
That's Scott Collins. I like that guy.
No, he's great, but he might not have designed the costume.
I'm just going to blame Alex Ross. I think he probably designed it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know what the Green Lantern needs? A big lantern is just.
He needs to be the lantern.
That is spot on. Just so you know, Pat, Alex Ross isn't here. That was Tone.
That totally didn't sound like Tone at all. That's ridiculous.
Sounded just like Alex Ross. Yeah. So that's a wild costume. But you said you want to talk about Fear Itself. You want to talk about
Fear? Yeah, we'll go into it for a little bit. So what did you think of issue one?
I'm excited for issue two. I don't know. I don't know what I thought. I'm going to grab it so I can just go through it with it. So the point of... Oh, you know what else I read last week was Fire Breather, which was fucking rad.
Oh, Fire Breather's great. I love Phil and Andy.
Yeah,
those guys are great. I'm really happy for those guys, especially with the whole Cartoon Network thing.
Yeah, that was a good deal. It was a good cartoon too. I liked it.
Yeah, that was good. Did you pick up the Blu-ray or the DVD?
I haven't picked it up. I was hoping to get a free one when I saw him in Kansas City. But
you've been doing a lot of cons lately. You did Kansas City and you did WonderCon. That was within like a couple of weeks of each other, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like we drove to Kansas City because my folks live in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so last year and this year, me and Tone drove out. And so we got back in town like a day before we had to leave for WonderCon. So that was pretty nuts. But then it's a couple, I think it's another 2 or 3 weeks before the next one. And we're doing the Long Beach one day show and then Anaheim. And then
I might make it up to Anaheim for a day, probably on the Friday. I'm not sure yet because I'm off on Fridays.
Cool. Yeah, we'll be.
Yeah, I'll try to visit, but you know, it really depends on what I have going on. It's been kind of weird out here.
So your secret life is weird?
Yes. Secret life can be weird.
The sweet life of Zach and Cody is strange out there. Yeah, so we're doing that, and then we're doing, I'll be at San Diego, but I'm not setting up at San Diego, and we're doing this Kamikaze LA show.
I saw that. I'm interested in checking that out.
Yeah.
The guest list is pretty bare bones, but it does feature you.
It does. Richard Roundtree?
I think Richard Roundtree is listed there. Yeah, he was listed there. And
no, he's going to Wizard World LA. I remarked that I would pay for a photograph of Richard Roundtree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're just sort of setting up. Oh, man, I don't like hearing sparse. Let's see. Kamikaze, Los Angeles.
This is some very compelling podcasting you guys are listening to right
sorry.
Now. No, it's cool, man. This is fun.
All of a sudden, I was like, oh no.
I'm just trying to be funny.
I never want to be close to a draw at a show, you know? Like, I want to be the guy that people are like, oh, that guy's here. If I'm somebody that you know about at a show, it's like I'm in fucking trouble because nobody's going to be there. So anyway, Fear Itself. I'm standing here. I got the prologue with me, and I got the issue one. And issue one, I thought was all right.
I love Stewart's work, man. He's great.
Yeah, that guy can fucking draw. I don't know about the. I don't know what's going on in Thor, but I guess Odin is not the All Father. There's another All Father.
Well, I guess we'll find out more about that particular aspect of it as it goes on. But Odin. You know, Odin got they brought back Odin, and he's not happy that he's been brought back.
Right.
So that's why he's in complete asshole mode. Which you can kind of see because, you know, he's been at peace for a long time, and then Thor decided to bring him back.
Right.
There's all kinds of stuff going on in the book, and it's actually been really good. I thought, you know, it's pretty cool how everything kind of works into this Fear Itself thing from the from both Cap and from Thor, because they both kind of lead into it over the last few months. But I thought the first issue itself was great. I like the I don't know the name of it. I think they've been referring to him as the Serpent, you know, the villain, the God of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you know, he looks cool. I thought he's he could be a really really good player over the next few months, but if they use him again after this. But it looks like there's going to be all kinds of crazy stuff going on over the next few months in that book.
Well, it's like it's a setup issue, a lot of it. And yeah. I guess the point of the book is it's going to be, you know, showing Marvel heroes their worst fears, which I think is cool. Like, I'll be excited when we get to that.
Yeah, I'm the thing I liked about this the most is that at least they're not fighting each other anymore.
Yeah,
because I mean, Civil War, for what it's worth, it was fun to a certain degree, but then I got to the point where I'm kind of tired of, like, you know, heroes fighting heroes, and then they've gotten heroes against the common goal, and then they got the heroes like on the ropes when Norman Osborn was in charge. It's nice to have for them to do an event where it's actually they have an actual bad guy that they need to fight. They all need to band together and fight. So it's nice to have that, and I've seen the designs for, you know, the Worthy, you know, the characters that they're going to be fighting, and they're all characters we already know, and it's pretty badass too.
Well, that's cool, man. I look forward to seeing that. I like the Book of the Skull. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like the way Brubaker writes Zemo. I think I'm glad that he pays attention to the characterization of that character, because that character has been mishandled a few times before.
Yeah.
I think he really got him.
Well, I mean, the guy, you know, the guy loves Captain America, and also he's been writing it for long enough that he's got a good handle on stuff.
Yeah. So I thought that was really good. I like that they put Scott Eaton to draw that one shot too, because that guy really should be in the bigger book, because he's reliable and he does good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sort of draws like Mark, or Mark sort of draws like him.
Mark DeSantis, right?
Yeah, I was talking.
Yeah, I've seen some of it. Yeah, I've seen some. Yeah, I can kind of see it's comparable. Yeah.
He is better than Mark. I'm gonna go out on the limb.
Well, I'm not gonna say anything about that.
That's
all right. Yeah, it's good stuff. The actual book itself, I have, you know, of course, it leaves you with a lot of questions, and the whole thing with the gods is really, It's pretty interesting, the development with the gods leaving Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it kind of says something about Odin.
Okay, I like the idea of, you know, superheroes not really being a big deal to Odin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always liked that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what? Why would he care? The, you know, Tony Stark's talking about the whole rebuilding Asgard, and he's like, we don't need that. We got this under control, man.
Yeah, you know, you can just do it with a snap of a finger, you know, if he wants to, but no. You have to play your way, Thor, you little jerk.
What do you think about these two dudes in the neighborhood? Do you think they're going to come back around, or are they just there to show us that we're in tough economic times?
I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, even in the Thor run so far, Fraction has always used, like, you know, regular people to kind of illustrate what's going on in that small town, because that town became kind of a supporting character for Thor, you know, even though, you know, not any single person, but just the town itself. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was more going on. When I guess we'll find out, but I don't know. He might use him again, he might not, or maybe maybe they'll get killed, and, you know, who knows?
Hmm. Well, they're off to Omaha. Her sister is up in Omaha, I believe. No, she's in Wichita. Me and Moreno did a reading of this couple of pages, just because it seemed odd that we did a dramatic reading. Because they're just all of a sudden they're superheroes, and then these guys are like, boy, oh boy, jobs are getting scarce.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a purpose to it. You know, Fraction is not, I mean, just based off of everything of his that I've read, he's just not the type who just throw random things in there without anything, without any purpose.
Yeah, I like Fraction. I'm excited to see where this thing's going. But like with Siege too, I was okay with the first issue. You know, a lot of shit happened in that first issue, but still, it was like two or three where I was like, "Oh, this is cool." You know, like, this is fun.
Yeah, the Siege is one. Yeah, Siege. A lot of people I know who have been critical of Brian's work have said that, you know, Siege.
Call them.
They like Siege a lot. And the first issue, they weren't on board with the first issue, but when issue two came out, their opinion went a complete 180, and they love it because so much happened in issue two.
Issue two is the one that ended with the shield flying at Norman's face, right?
I believe that's issue. Is that issue? Yeah, that's issue two.
Yeah, that was sweet. Incredible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I imagine stuff like that will happen in this. I'm excited to see it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the main thing is it's such a setup issue that, you know, like, maybe we're already seeing one of the Marvel heroes' worst fears, but I don't think we are.
I think that's going to start happening soon. I mean, the teaser image just kind of said a lot about it, you know?
It's like an event, you know,
mm-hmm.
An event usually starts off
mm-hmm.
and the event's happening. Mm-hmm. And usually there's so much lead-up going on in the other books, this seemed like there was the prologue book, but this first issue seems also almost like a prologue mm-hmm. book. But a beautiful one, you know, mm-hmm. Stuart Immonen can really draw, and it's well written, but it's just like, it's. Mm-hmm. Did they have to, I would be, you know, I'm not going to tell these guys how to write, like, these guys are, you know, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's been okay if Odin on the first page is like, we're getting out of here, and, you know, go from there.
See,
the other thing is, it's a seven-issue thing, you know, so it's, you know, Siege was four issues, and they just sort of got in and did it. This one, they got a little more room to fuck around with.
Mm-hmm. It's I'm curious to see where, you know, where Matt intends to take some of the characters after this whole thing, because it looks like this is going to have one of those long term ramification things, like most of the events lately. So I'm curious at what the status quo will be afterwards. But at the same time, I don't really want it ruined for me. You know, I want to read it as it goes on. But I'm just curious to see where they're going to go now, because this is the whole thing with the Asgardians leaving Earth. That kind of says something. You know, that's a pretty big deal if you're in that continuity, in that universe.
Right.
Yeah. They just abandoned Earth. You know, after everything that happened. You know.
So when you have Fraction on, are you going to talk about Fear itself, or what do you?
Well, we're going to talk about it, but, you know, I don't think we're going to get into the spoilers because,
yeah,
you know, that's not what. Of course, you know, he's not going to give anything away anyway. But still,
well, don't mention to him that I thought that not enough happened in the first issue of Fear Itself.
Don't worry about it.
Is he a listener? Does he listen to the?
I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, I'm not going to... I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, we all have our own opinions on what we read. At least you have. At least you've read it and you have an opinion on it. That right. kind of makes sense.
Just in case Matt Fraction's listening, I'm a big fan of your Uncanny X-Men, Matt Fraction.
Yeah, man. I love his Uncanny. I'm sad that he left, but, man, Kieron Gillen he's off to a good start.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like I say, I haven't picked up all my books this week, but, yeah, I'll check that out. It's his first issue, right?
Actually, he's had two issues now. The point one issue came out last week, and issue 535 came out this week, which is pretty badass.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'll check those out. What did you think of the Vampire X-Men's?
The Vampire stuff, I thought was fun. The Curse of the Mutants, like the main story arc was fun. The tie-ins I didn't care for, but the main story in X-Men from 1 to 6, like in that new title they launched, I thought it was pretty decent.
Is that title still ongoing? Is it still happening?
It's an ongoing. The second story arc is drawn by Chris Michalo.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty great. They go back to New York. They team with Spider-Man, and they're doing all kinds of fun stuff in that book. And I think they have another big arc planned after that. So it looks like one of their it's like where all the mini X-Men events take place. But you know, Uncanny is like my favorite book out of the lot right now because. It has all the main characters. I mean, you put Namor and Magneto in the team, I'm there. Because those are some of my favorite characters. And of course, there's Emma Frost. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the murderer's row for Pat Loika. They get Thanos on that team.
That won't work, but hey, whatever. Man, that book, it's so good.
Check it out.
Gonna take a quick detour here before we sign off. I have a Twitter question for you from Dan Taylor.
Okay. Did this happen?
What's that?
Did it just happen?
A little earlier.
Okay.
Question for you is, are you ever going to finish Lunarchy? And he says, Mustafa the Monkey Crime Lord demands his day.
No, I'm never going to work on that. I don't like being put in that position.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Dan. I'll probably get back to. I mean, I don't know. If we find a publisher who will pay me to draw Lunarcy, I will totally draw it. It was a cool concept. It was this book that me and Dan were talking about where it's like a PI story set in like a space age future. And it's sort of, you know, like retro 50s sci-fi stuff mixed with the sort of like a hard-boiled PI concept. But, you know, it's the sort of thing where we were talking about doing it, and then a bunch of books happened that were sort of doing a similar thing, and so we decided to hold off for a while. And then Dan started doing a bunch of his own stuff, and I started doing a bunch of my own stuff, and so now it's just about figuring out, you know, when the time is right, we'll get back together and see what's what.
That's awesome. I like the concept, and I would like to see that again too. I'd like to actually get to read that eventually.
Yeah, and Dan, you know, Dan's a good writer.
Sure. Yeah, Dan's a good guy. I see him pretty much every con I go to that's in the West Coast. So, dude's been in the biz for quite a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think about this beard? I think he needs to.
Yeah, the beard kind of needs some work, but
You got to keep it under 2 or 3 inches, you know, just to you're going to run with the Van Dyke.
There should be certain standards that need to be kept with beards, and unfortunately, his beard is not up to snuff. You know, as an expert on facial hair, you know, it's.
What are you doing right now? You got the Van Dyke going, or are you?
I got the Van Dyke back because. When I went to Seattle this year, and pretty much everybody gave me all kinds of shit about how I don't have anything because I shaved before going to Seattle.
Everything off?
What's that?
You shaved the mustache and everything?
Yeah, I shaved everything off. I got so much shit. It was pretty brutal, man.
You went totally like a naked mole rat, like your whole thing, the armpits and pubes and the whole nine.
No, just the facial hair, man.
Okay. So but
you know what, though? The only compliment came from Matt Fraction when he said, dude, you look 15 years younger. I was like, oh, thanks, Matt. Everyone else doesn't like it.
I see you as sort of ageless. You know, you're like, you live outside space and time. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know about ageless. I'm kind of starting to feel it. But after all these years of working and hustling and doing all this stuff.
Right.
It's starting to get to me, but you know.
what's going on with your comics? Are you working on stuff?
I have a few things. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a short story I did with Chris Mays. I'm working on more writing, to be quite honest, and I have looking to doing more of the villain with Steve Earnhardt.
Mm-hmm. Love Steve.
Yeah, Steve is great. And there's a few other things here and there that we're kind of too early to talk about it, but we're talking about me and Chris Mays and a couple other buddies. We're looking on to collaborating on a new webcomic called Johnny Neptune, but I can't really say any. No, Scott, is it Johnny Neptune or Scotty Neptune? I forget sometimes. Scotty Neptune, and it's going to. It's one of those ridiculous type of things that I unfortunately can't say anything yet until we've nailed everything down. But it's going to be, it sounds like one of the most fun things I'll ever do because, it's always good to work with your friends and it's even better when all your friends are like in the same place.
Yeah.
So it's always great to just collaborate right there and just come up with ideas and just bullshit about it. And yeah, I'm excited about that, but we're still pretty early in the process.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That sounds great, man. I'm excited for Scott or Johnny Neptune.
Yeah, it's Scotty. Scotty Neptune. I'm sorry, Chris, you're going to kill me when you hear this. But it's been a while.
You're not supposed to say anything about it.
No, he's going to kill me for getting the name wrong because that's, if all the things to get wrong, the name of your project is not one of those.
For right now, I'm putting Scotty Neptune in the cone of silence with your private life. So yes. You guys get it all ironed out and figured out. Once you find the URL, then you can start talking about it.
Yeah. So before we, and also I got another question for you from Evan Valentine on Twitter. He goes, "Will we ever see a sequel to In My Lifetime?"
Oh, some of it. Yes, eventually. That's another thing where. But what happened with the first In My Lifetime was it came out and it did. Some would call it a noble failure. It came out and it sold okay for a book that nobody ever heard of from a person nobody ever heard of. And it did just well enough where I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do comics. And so I just decided to do, be a freelance comic book artist. And so I'm just now getting to the point where I can sort of survive doing that. And so for the timing to be right to do In My Lifetime, I have to not only be surviving, but have enough money where I have free time, So once I have free time and I have the stories to tell, then I'll do more In My Lifetime. But it's just about, it's about getting it right. Or if some publisher comes along and wants to pay me to draw it. But that, I can't imagine there are publishers out there with budgets for autobiographical comics that are not written by Joe Matt or Jeffrey Brown. So. But we'll see. I'll absolutely do more. I kind of see it as being the sort of thing where when I die, there will be sort of a big, not quite Thor size, but like just a nice size hardcover that'll sort of be a chronicle of my adult life.
It'd be awesome if you could do like a Thor omnibus size book, and not only can you that could actually be a pretty decent weapon as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's something to be said for brevity. All the stories in My Lifetime are short stories, and I don't know that if it got to be that big, it'd just be like, shut the fuck up about yourself. Who cares? I would have to lead a really interesting life to be able to keep it up for that long.
I'm constantly entertained.
Well, thank you.
That's why I'm sitting here. I love listening to him talk.
He's just fascinated.
I am. It's like I'm amazed that he's able to get from one day to the next.
All right. So where can people find you online, Tony, so they could check out your work?
Fleecedesign.com is the main website, but that's not updated a whole lot. Check out twitter.com/TonyFleece, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, but I don't really go on Facebook a lot. I like the Facebook movie a lot better than I like Facebook. So I'm on there.
For those of you who don't know how to spell your name.
Oh, it's FLEECS design.
.com.
.com. Garage Art Studios is the studio website, and that's where it seems to be where a lot of the updating happens, when we got new books coming out or when there's conventions or anything. Yeah, like.
And I will also encourage that people follow the Garage Art Studios Twitter feed, which I will link to in the show notes, actually, so people can follow you everywhere.
Get in on the ground floor of the Garage Art Studios Twitter. I think we got like 17 followers.
I'll add me.
Yeah, you're going to follow too?
I'll do it right now.
All right, we're going up to 19.
We're going
to... yeah, so you can find me online, and then, you know, projects coming out is the Oni book with Josh is called Jeff Steinberg, Champion of Earth, and then the book with Tone, which has no publisher, which has no home, but will...
If you're a publisher and you're listening to this, you need to contact Tony and check this out, because this is some fun stuff.
533-6516.
Did you just get a phone number?
Did you tell him about the office?
Oh. Yeah. No, we didn't talk about it.
Oh, tell him about the office.
I don't know if we're allowed to give up what's happening on the office.
Go ahead.
We did.
We've got artwork. Tone and I have artwork coming up on the office.
NBC is the office.
We don't even know when the episode airs.
It will be Steve Carell's last episode.
Steve Carell's last episode.
Okay.
There's going to be something with Stanley, so keep an eye out for that. And then the Tone book is called, right now it's called American Goth Chick, and it's about halfway done. And so hopefully we'll find some place to put that, and hopefully I'll come back and tell you about it when it's actually, you know, when it's actually happening.
Yeah, we'll do this again. This is fun, actually. I like going off on tangents like we did over the last hour or so. This is fun.
Yeah, we really chatted it up, huh?
Yeah. as always, you can find me at my website, patloika.com, and you can connect to all my social networking stuff there. And next week, we will have Matt Fraction on, and you just need to – if you have any questions, we are actually taking questions for this one. You can send them to theloika@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter. And that's it for now. You guys take it easy, and I'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
You have just been listening to the Loikomania podcast, and the views expressed in the interviews belong solely to those who say them and do not reflect the views of Pat Loika or any of Dial R Studios. If you wish to contact Pat Loika, you can send him an email at theloika@gmail.com. That's theloika@gmail.com. Or stop by his website and blog, loikomania.wordpress.com, for more reviews and other information about this podcast. Music for the show has been provided by Steve Earnhardt. You can find him on Twitter at BaldSteve. The Loikomania podcast is a proud member of the Deliberate Noise Network of podcasts. You can find us and others at deliberatenoise.com or at comicbooknoisefamily.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.